Thank you, President Arnold. I'm afraid lunch will have to wait a bit longer. We still have till 12:30, and we've heard three excellent presentations covering a wide variety of developmental issues and political issues in the Arab world. We will hear now to comment on all the presentations we've heard is Ms. Muna Abu Sulaiman from the co-host of Kalam Nawaim. And after that, we'll open it up to questions. We have an unbelievable number of questions that have come to us. We have no way of answering all of them, but the chair reminds me that we have a networking time from 12:30 to 1. Any questions that were not answered, and I'm sure there will be many of them, can be put forward to the presenters after the session is over. With that, I'll turn the floor to Ms. Muna Abu Sulaiman.
Thank you. I wanted to add that I also have 6 years of experience teaching at the university level at King Saud, so I actually have dealt with many of these issues firsthand. Of course, Prince Turki, what you said was excellent. It's a lot of things that people feel, but you just put it so eloquently, especially at a time where we need to reestablish the credibility and trust between us and the U.S. Your Excellency, Rukht Huda, human rights, Bahrain is very well noted for its human rights movement and being on the forefront of educating women and men, actually, not just women. In the beginning of the century when women were not being educated anywhere else in the GCC. Dr. David, your experience at the higher education shows your commitment and your passion for what you're doing at AUC. But what I'd like to comment on is that I'm not talking about the people who go to AUC, the 20,000 students, or 40,000 with the part-timers, or the Baathist and socialist of AUB. what I'm talking about, the 100 million people that are in need of jobs, which His Excellency Saad Marwan talked about. There are three points that I think are extremely important and that were not discussed and that are essential for change. The McKinsey report, which was launched last year, discussed the most important element in educating the world, all over the world, not just the Arab world, is the teacher. So what are we doing in the Arab world to really educate our teachers? I think Jordan has done tremendously well in having great teacher colleges, but where else in the Arab world do we have that? If we don't have great teachers, we don't have great education, despite all those, you know, big cities that are being built. The second point that's also very important, and also touches again upon Dr. Arnold's, is that what's happening is the elite, the people who know English, are being educated well. The masses, the rest of the Arab world, from Morocco all the way to Iraq, whose native language is Arabic, are not able to be educated well. For a simple reason, they don't have access to knowledge. Unfortunately, the Arab world does not produce knowledge, and we rely on translation. A lot of the translated works that we have are very outdated. One of the biggest initiatives we're doing a feasibility study for at the Kingdom Foundation is the idea of translating journals, scientific, social sciences, technology journals into Arabic. We believe this is one of the few ways that you actually can give knowledge to the masses, where they, with a click of a button or a visit to the library, can actually be exposed to the whole range of ideas, perspective, research on any given topic. And we can't do it in English. We're not going to turn 250 million Arabs into English speaking, and we shouldn't. Otherwise, there's always going to be this disconnect where the elite are speaking about great initiatives and the masses don't have any idea of how to implement it. A third point that is very important is the push for social sciences. And I'm not saying this because I'm an English literature major. I'm saying this because I'm looking at all the foundations and the governments and the grants and the scholarships that are being given. Very few are being given to the social sciences, if any. We have knowledge cities that are built for scientific advancement in Saudi Arabia, and we have zero scholarships for social sciences. Nobody who's going from Saudi Arabia to actually study the social sciences. The other point is that there's no support for think tanks that come up with social infrastructure and paradigms and initiatives so that we can actually move and progress in the right way, a way that fits our culture, our religions, and also our way of life, at the same time that becomes quite modern and progressive. We need this. Lastly, there's a forgotten element. When we did a research on young students, about 7 and 8 year olds in Saudi Arabia, and we discussed Araosh, which is a very well-known ruler, Hakim, and George Washington. More people know George Washington. This is in Saudi Arabia. We have somehow lost this connection with our own civilization. The people that go and study abroad and come back with great ideas, but that are very Western. And the people that remain in our world are stuck into a very outdated educational system that does not promote them to actually reach into their own culture and civilization and come up with new ideas or ways of transferring that culture back to our own children, whether it's through the media or education. And I'm afraid that I don't see anybody who's working on that either. The picture is not as bleak as people make it, but it's not as rosy as others do. We have to have 100 million jobs or people who are skilled for those jobs, but we also have to have 100 million well-rounded people, no matter what type of job they're in. And I hope that this panel and the audience would help to shed some light on efforts that I may not know of that are occurring on those 4 points. Thank you.